Hey everyone, you're tuned into the False Graves podcast. I'm your host, AK Baby Do the Lightbringer, and I'm here with my good friend, Jim Collins.
Pleasure to be here, Matt.
Glad to have you.
I won't call you AKA what?
AK Baby Do.
No, I'm going to call you Matt if that's okay.
That's understandable.
All right.
So the reason I wanted to have you on is I'm very fascinated with passionate people.
Okay.
I'm drawn to people who have a fire for life and a unique take and a unique experience.
Okay.
And I feel that, especially in the modern world, you stand out more than arguably anyone I've ever met. And so, you know, I want to ask you, what do you think separates you from the modern person?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here. And I'd say I'm kind of honored because even though you're just a beginning podcast.
Yeah.
It's a good question you ask, and no one's ever asked me that question in my life. And it's a question I'd love to answer because I think it is true. I do stand out from other people, and that's not necessarily by choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think what sets me apart from other people, what causes me to be different, and at the same time, you mentioned passion, is the source of the passion,
mm-hmm.
is this. It's not that I'm unwilling. It's that I'm incapable of living in illusion.
Right.
That's what makes me different. Because I believe almost everyone that I know and everywhere that I go and everything that I encounter is willing to live in a matrix mm-hmm. of illusion that's really at its base horrific
mm-hmm.
and is the root of all the evils and problems and injustices and misery in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that clearly and knowing that and having had what I believe is the truth of things shown to me, it makes for a tremendous sense of urgency.
Right.
That's the passion you're talking about, is if the house is on fire and you're the only one that knows it, you're going to have passion.
Right.
And that's, I think that's the main thing.
So there's a lot of people, I would say, with the Matrix narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that word used a lot these days,
mm-hmm.
but I think you mean it in a particular way
I do.
To you that I don't think is spoken about very often.
Mm-hmm. I do. Now, for your viewers, I have to make a disclaimer. I have to get a little religious in my answer, because the source of where I got the understanding that broke me out of the Matrix, the essential and foundational lie that creates the illusion we all live under, did come from Jesus Christ.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to be honest about myself or anything I talk about unless I were to say that. But I say that as a disclaimer because I probably mean that very differently. Most people use the name Jesus Christ that I've encountered in a way that perpetuates the Matrix.
Right.
Okay? I want to use it in... Not that I want to use it. I've seen it in a way it destroys the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
But we just haven't caught up to it yet. So when I use the name, I'm very careful to not proselytize, to not be, you know, zealous about pushing anything on anybody. I don't want your listeners to feel like something's being pushed on them.
Right.
But I have to say that's the source. So your question was, what's the foundational difference?
Yeah.
What is the source of this matrix that you're...
Well, there are some people who say we're in a financial matrix. Our mm-hmm. government has enslaved us and mm-hmm. wages are worse than they've ever been, and inflation
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
materialism. Success through materialism could get you to escape, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You become successful enough that the regular financial barriers and laws just don't apply to you as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're able to have a normal, somewhat normal life.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not talking about that.
Not at all. No. Nope, that's a symptom. That's placing the blame on something that's not really at the root of the issue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think is at the root of the issue?
A lie. A foundational lie on which the whole history of the human race has been based. And I would say is the cause of all the wars, all the injustice. And it may seem like an oversimplification to say it's based on one lie,
mm-hmm.
but I think I can unpack it, and I think I can show you what I mean by that, whether you agree or not.
Okay.
And I think the lie is this, that there are some people that are good and some people who are evil. That there are bad people and good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that's a lie. It's not true. It's the original lie that caused, you've heard in Christian theology, the original sin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the original sin came from an original lie. And that lie is that it works out that there are some good people and there are some bad people. And that's a lie. And there's a reason for it.
There's a reason for the lie?
There's a reason for the lie. I believe the reason for the lie is the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We're human beings. We're on a planet where literally everything is dominated by death.
Right.
Everything. The smallest microbe, the spider, every animal, every plant lives, and all the way up to the human beings, lives in some state of existential terror.
Right.
At all times. If you look at the animal kingdom, they're in terror.
Mm-hmm.
What looks beautiful to us, and it is beautiful, I don't want to deny, but so much of what they do and what they are and the way they act is because they're in constant terror of dying.
Yeah, I mean, a deer sees you walking 20 feet away and they scurry instantly.
And there's terror in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the story of the whole universe, is because here we are. We're animals, but we've gained consciousness.
Right.
Or we're self-aware. And what is the thing we're most aware of? Everything dies. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Including us. And it can happen very quickly. And it's going to happen to every one of us.
Right.
And so how do we face such a reality? How do we face this unfaceable thing? This thing that if we were to allow ourselves to look at it closely,
yeah,
would leave us in a naked state of terror, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we face it in many different ways.
Right.
I mean, it's very varied.
Right.
But some people face it through vice.
Mm-hmm.
Some through legacy.
Yes, right.
Right, like mm-hmm. legacy is, I can accept death if my legacy lives on.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature.
Right. So, but I would say the facing it is really a not facing it. It's a way to gain immortality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's nothing inside of us that justifies us.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because everything is relative. Something is big relative to something smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Something is loud relative to something softer. Something is beautiful relative to something that's uglier.
Right.
That's the rule of the physical world, is that nothing's absolute.
Right.
Why is it not absolute? Because it dies.
Yeah.
It's not eternal. It's not forever. It's not absolute. Everything right. is relative right. to other things. So what justifies us? What tells us, in if you don't understand, anybody in the audience doesn't understand what I mean by justifies. What makes us know we're okay? How are we okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, the best way is your position over other people, your position in relation to your community or your close family or friends. I would say if you're in the middle of the pack, you can justify yourself because, hey, at least I'm not that guy.
That's what I mean. That's you're coming right into it now. The greatest way we justify ourselves, we're not going to justify ourselves by saying I'm not a deer or I'm not a chipmunk or an elephant or a fish. We're going to justify ourselves by saying I'm not as bad as that guy because it's relative. I said the beautiful and the ugly, the big and the small. Now it's the good is only good relative to the bad.
Right.
That's the lie. But the lie was inevitable without some other source of understanding.
Right.
And that had not broken into the world yet. Right. All right. So if we're in tribes, the only way for this tribe to justify itself is to say, we're better than this tribe.
Right.
And then that is projected out into the stars, to the heavens, and therefore our God is better than that God. Or our God has said, and that's the whole history of the world in one form or another.
Right.
It gets more sophisticated as time goes on. But it's what we're living in right now. And because of it, and if I had to unpack that, if you were to say, give me some examples, the examples are endless.
Yeah, there really are limitless examples.
Yes, endless. Because I believe, now these are radical statements, but this is what answers your question about me. I believe that everybody does nothing all day long, every day, and maybe even when they're sleeping, except find some way to justify themselves through illusion, through that original lie. It's constant comparison, whether it's conscious or unconscious.
Right.
It's constant. Well, why is social media the way it is? Why does everybody attack each other? Why are politics the way they are? Why are there wars? Why can't we share land? Why is there's plenty of food to go around? Why are the governments against each other so that the people can't get it? Why do kids in school fight with each other? Why? It's that. There's nothing inside us intrinsically that tells us we're okay in the face of ultimate annihilation. But we don't know that. We don't think that thought, but that's there.
Yeah.
Okay? And we've got to stave it off. We've got to find a way to justify ourselves in the face of death.
Yeah.
In the face of obliteration. And that's a never-ending thing. It's an existential thing. It's deeper than our thought. It's deeper than our conscious thought. And so, you know, maybe in one context, the religious guy feels just because he's not like the sinner.
Right.
Okay? Or the good-looking guy feels not just, but pretty good about himself because he's not like the poor, ugly guy.
Yeah.
It's all on every level. There's a, I'm okay in the face of non-existence. And so that lie is, we've never been able to escape it. And it's the, like I said, it's the cause of all the, you know, there's no reason for starvation.
Right.
Maybe there was at one time.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's no reason for starvation. There's no reason for war. There's no reason for broken homes. There's none of this stuff has to exist.
Yeah.
But we're desperate, and that's why it exists.
So I've never really heard anyone underline the fear of death being the primary motivator of people or governments or humanity as a whole.
I believe it.
But you think it is?
Yes. Yes. It's way low. It's you got to go down, 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 down. That's why when you said, is the Matrix financial? No. No.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah. But people are willing to live in that illusion because they can justify themselves against another group that says something different about it.
Yeah, and if you're a winner, it feels good when you're beating death.
Yes,
or you think, I like you think that you're beating death. It feels good.
Yeah, Yeah, you're looking good. You're feeling fine.
Top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, you are. Yep, you've just whatever. You got the new car. You got the new girl. You got the new house.
Mm-hmm.
You got the new job. You've got whatever.
Right.
However, I'll tell you, in the race to do that, are mountains of victims.
Right.
For everyone that gained that status, they had to be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
It's one coin.
There are some
one coin.
People who would say that's true. I don't think many people think about it that matter-of-factly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there are people who would go, that's true. Why is that wrong?
Why is it wrong that there are winners and losers?
Yeah.
If the world was nothing but the domination of death, and somehow in a world that tells us we're nothing, because that's what we're going to be, is nothing.
Right.
Okay, worm food, and then the worms will die.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's really the truth of existence, okay, then there is nothing wrong with it. Then it is survival of the fittest. Even if that survival is a temporary sense that I'm okay in a cruel universe because I'm in some way stronger than the other,
mm-hmm.
smarter than the other, richer than the other, cooler than the other, smarter than the other, more religious than the other,
right?
Nicer than the other.
More sacrificial than the other.
Yes, more loving than the other. If the real truth is the absolute extinction of everything, including the entire cosmos, one day, as the atheists believe,
mm-hmm.
and which is what we see, that the natural world is going to wind down.
Yeah.
If that's true, then what else is there but this? And that's why I'm not... This makes me a little different, too. I'm passionate. And I am different than everybody else, or maybe most everybody I know. I don't right. want to make that kind of claim. I'm not making myself special.
Right.
It's just I'm odd man out. Is this? I'm not mad at people for it. I'm not thinking now. I'm not playing the same game with this.
Right.
Oh, I'm different because I see the truth and they don't.
Right.
No. And I haven't even told you what the truth is yet. All right. I've done is diagnose what I think the original lie is,
mm-hmm.
what creates the matrix of the world we live in now,
right?
Our financial systems, our medical systems, and that's not to say there isn't goodness mixed in.
Right.
But it's tribal goodness.
Yeah.
It's goodness over against the other.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I should stop saying that over and over again because I don't want to be redundant. I think I've made that point. But I do not look at the world, at the other people, and say, you weaklings. I say, yeah, it's terror.
Right.
And I say, I understand. But it's still a monstrous terror. Mountains, infinite, endless suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Endless suffering.
Yeah, if you look at human history, you know, people like to think that today in the modern world it's very bad, maybe spiritually,
mm-hmm.
but physically the modern person has no clue the suffering mm-hmm. that people have endured.
Right. That's true. Does that mean the world's gotten better? Yeah, because of the thing I talk about that broke into the world that I'm believing mm-hmm. in has had an influence on the world, even though we haven't caught up to it.
Right.
Okay, so it has improved. But the reality of the world is, a conqueror breaks into your home, kills your husband, takes you as a sex slave,
mm-hmm.
and does the same thing to your daughter,
mm-hmm.
maybe sells your son somewhere else, and your daughter grows up from whatever age. Now, this is terrible, so I won't spell it out too clearly.
Yeah.
At the service of monsters.
Yeah, that was the past of human history.
And still is in some places.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go back to it because what we have is still very fragile. There's new psychological forms of, and you mentioned that psychologically or mm-hmm. spiritually, that kind of abuse and disregard for other people exists.
Yeah.
But it's only, why are people like that? Why is it like that? It's because they really do believe that the only way they can be okay is by defeating another.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to know, and this will get to the root of the, if you don't mind.
No, I don't.
If they knew that the girl they were harming, or the boy they were selling,
mm-hmm.
or the other guy, the enemy, on the side of the nation boundary line that they're about to blow up. And I'm not saying that every person that's fought in a war is evil at all.
Right.
Not at all. They had tremendous courage.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to do it. But if you knew the truth about the person across from you, and this is in our writings, this is in what I'm saying right now, that the truth is we're all brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters. That's not new, but we're not. It must just be words.
Right.
It's just got to be words. That's all it is. Because the yeah. way the world is does not reflect that in any way at all.
I do think it's words, and actions have not caught up to those words.
Yes.
Or they're not even on the way to catching up to them.
Yes. So the source that got me out of the lie and leaves me, it was the pill that got me out of the matrix. It was the thing that made me different. It was the truth that undid the original lie. That was the source of the original sin that's multiplied into the monstrous, sinful, you know, it's unspeakable.
Mm-hmm.
It's unspeakable what's happened in this world. And we don't look at it. We can't look at it.
Right.
Okay, it's too bad to look at. The thing that I saw, the thing that I believed in, is this. And it's gonna seem, that's it? We all know that.
Right.
Okay? It's this. And maybe this will help others look at the Christian faith in a different way. The Christian faith claims that Jesus Christ was not just a man, but he was God. And however you believe that, you know, however you want to, you know, confess it as a creed or as a belief,
mm-hmm.
Christians believe that. That what he was on the earth was a perfect representation of the essence of God.
Right.
That you looked at him and then you understood what God was. Now remember, up till him, what were all the gods?
Mm-hmm.
They were at war with each other. They were demanding human sacrifices.
Yeah. And they had niche desires and skill sets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're very specific.
Mm-hmm. Even the Old Testament of the Bible, which is the big, you know, which I think is valid. It's not. I'm not saying it's not the Bible or not the written word of God or anything. But what I'm saying is that the history of those people
mm-hmm.
is the Egyptians are evil. You got to come out from out them, and there was no other way.
Right.
Okay. And these nations that surrounding you, they must be destroyed. No survivors in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Women and children in some cases. That's more of the same.
Right.
You're the chosen. I'm giving you this land. They're evil because they worship idols. So it was the same thing. But that's another story. If you're asking me, do you believe that that's invalid? No, I don't. I believe it was necessary. I believe it was God entering into the history of a people and working through the only reality they could conceive.
Right.
Until the time came where he could show something else. And what he showed in the person of, let's not talk religion,
mm-hmm.
in the person of Jesus was a blinding light, a beautiful light, a light that changes everything and saves the universe by obliterating the first lie. By obliterating the source of the first lie, death.
Yep.
What I believe is simply this. If Jesus is God, and God's the creator of all, and on the cross, he allowed himself to be tortured in unimaginable ways. We can't even imagine what it's like to be tortured to death on a Roman crucifix.
No.
Okay, we've romanticized it. But also psychologically tortured.
Mm-hmm.
Betrayed by the Roman people. Well, they didn't betray him. They hated him. The government hated him because he was a threat to their order.
Yeah.
Hated by the religious leaders that he was trying to help by exposing their complicity in the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? His disciples abandoned him, and he loved them to the uttermost.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole group of people, the thousands of people that were in Jerusalem for the Passover, so many of which he had healed, so many of which he had loved and told the truth to, shouted for him to be dead, turned into a mob.
Yeah.
Why? It's the same thing. This is where the winners are. Rome. This is the Pharisees and Rome are the winners right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the loser. He's the scapegoat. Because what I have been talking about in this whole conversation is scapegoating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they became just or righteous or good or okay by belonging to that mob over against this enemy. So he stood. That's the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says that he bore the sin of the world, that's what he bore. And he bore it as one that was so truly alive. If you're dead, if you're barely alive, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Okay? He was so alive and so not in the illusion of the machine, the matrix, the whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
that he literally felt the sin of the world. He was the outcast of the whole world. He was the one that was now in the place of every single victim that this monstrous society has created.
Mm-hmm.
He was that one in solidarity with them and with us.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did when it said he died for us, it means this. Well, was it just the physical death that he was dying for us? No. He faced what we couldn't face. What we needed to be able to do was have the power to face the root of the original crime.
Right.
But we couldn't, because we had nothing to tell us that we would be okay.
Yeah, maybe not even the perspective to see it or to know what it was.
Right. 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 It was a concept that hadn't been introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Love like this was never known.
Yeah.
Everything in the end is love for my nation and hatred for that nation.
Right.
Or my family and not that one.
Right.
Okay. This was new. This was not something that was kind of gradually developing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, you know, the right time came. This was a quantum leap from anything we've ever known. That you would die for, not a man, God.
Right.
Would die for. For every single human being would face the death. So when it said that's turned into a cliche, Jesus died for you. Okay, I believe that. What does it mean? He faced it.
Yeah.
He faced the blackness. Everybody dies, but nobody really dies because they die in illusion.
Yeah.
They die in an illusion that they're just,
mm-hmm.
because they were this or that. Not looking at the crimes that they participated in to be just.
Right.
Whether they knew it or not. And they could know it if they wanted to look long enough at it. But right. They can't. Okay? That had to be faced. The monstrous sin of the world. death and the blackness of the void had to be faced rather than run from, because it was the running from it that created the world we live in.
Right.
We built a world to shield us from death, but it doesn't, but we did. And so we die in that. We never really die. We just die in our body. We never really face that void. If that, that may be a little confusing, but he did. We were too dead to die. He was so alive that he could face it. And face it not as God. And that's the mystery of the Christian religion, that this was also fully man. He faced it as one of us, for us. And all the denial of it and running from it was poured out on him. We couldn't stand that. We wanted someone on our side rather than someone that was for all. And we couldn't stand it because it stripped us from our from our means of justifying ourselves.
Maybe a bit off topic, but do you think that sacrifice put a weight on our shoulders from that point on?
Yes.
Because it cemented, let's say the sacrifice cemented a consciousness that we then had to carry, whether we wanted to or not.
Absolutely, and I'll circle back to it. But I'd like to finish how it undid the original lie, because we weren't quite there. So he didn't face death as God, and he didn't face death as a righteous man who was better than others, and that's why he conquered it. He faced it naked, with no justifications. The people he believed in rejected him. The law that he followed cursed him, because it predicted if you did die in this way, you were cursed by God. The Roman society rejected him. They had nothing to stand on. Well, he had his faith in God. No. At the end, he went further to where there was the blackout of God.
Right.
Where he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" This is unthinkable. But he did it. And when he did it, he broke something. He broke the ancient lie. He broke, the ancient reality of death as God, the final word, the ultimate power, the destiny of everything. He broke it. And it's never, it's like you said, it's the sacrifice and the result of the sacrifice. Why could he break it? Why was he considered just? Why did God raise him from the dead?
Yeah.
Because rather than justify himself by the relative, the good and the evil, he was justified by love. That's what justifies a human being. And the love is absolute.
Yeah.
So because it was God and not a man, not a finite man, part of nature that's relative and not absolute, it was an absolute love.
Right.
And an absolute sacrifice. And if that sacrifice was made for every single person who ever lived, and this is more mystery, it's not like he was Superman and put on the Clark Kent suit and then died and then went back to being Superman. What he passed through, he remains. So even now, on our altar, when we break that bread and share that cup, we're not remembering something he did a long time ago. It's him. He remains an absolute sacrifice of love for every single human being at all times, forever. That is God. It can't be undone. And so what that means is that every single human being is worth everything, has absolute value, has no reason to fear death, because they're loved by God to the extent that God would actually give his own life forever for them.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's the new foundation for a new world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are probably a lot of Christians who say, oh, that's a nice fancy way, maybe an insightful way, maybe a bit of a non-religious way, maybe a different way of saying what we already knew. What's so, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If that's true, now that's what created the crisis in me that made me different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. You think that's true? That I'm going to offend now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the case? That every person is worth as much as God? Because if you die for somebody, you're saying that person is worth as much as you.
Right.
And if you find a way to be an eternal sacrifice for them, you're saying that person's worth as much as you eternally. This isn't just a religious concept for Sunday. This is a reality that shatters the root of the matrix. And so if you believe that, so you got this people living in a slum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offend. And maybe they're a different race than you. Or maybe not. Doesn't matter. They live in the slum. Their kids are in jail for dealing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
No daddy involved. Whatever. And you have a $450,000 home and two SUVs and a sports car and a vacation house on the lake,
mm-hmm.
and 50 acres of land so you can hunt. What? That's blasphemy. Well, I worked for it.
Mm-hmm.
No. You worked for it? You worked for it. That's why? That's why this exists, is because you're better than they are?
Yeah.
And I worked for it in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Okay? I worked for it in Jesus' name. God blessed me with this.
Mm-hmm.
Through my hard work and through his faithful. Well, what about them? So you've got a $450,000 house and you've got 50 acres? All right. Let's share it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't just invite everybody. No, you can't just do it. But you can, I'm not talking as individuals. I'm saying we come together as people who claim we believe this and do something different.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. I mean, to the person who's living on the streets, you know, maybe that person didn't have the parents you had.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the friends you had. They didn't have the schooling you had.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things intrinsically worse about their life
mm-hmm.
than yours. And sure, you might have worked your whole life to get what you have, but to even have a platform to do it
mm-hmm.
is something that you didn't earn. The platform to do it, you didn't earn.
Right. And so who knows what might have happened 10 generations back that started that process for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hear the modern day Pharisees now. You're making excuses for people. No, I'm not. I'm not. It's real. The reality is that person is worth as much as God. By God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're in that condition, something went wrong.
Right.
So I'm not saying, and by the way, I don't mean the welfare state.
Yeah.
That is the worst insult to people. It just creates nothing but constant living in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying I sound like a leftist, not you, but people are saying, he sounds like a leftist. He sounds woke. No, Matt knows me. I'm the farthest thing from woke.
Yeah, you're not woke.
No. What I'm saying is there's another reality and we have to start the world over on that reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying to you, gentlemen, with your, you know, 50 acres, just start inviting everybody on the land right now. I'm saying if this is true, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
How can we still talk about people the way we do?
Yeah.
Can we still say the things about them that we do? It becomes serious enough that we're If Christ is everybody, when we slander somebody else, we're crucifying him.
Yeah.
And so the awakening is this. The whole system is wrong. Everything is wrong. It's all a death-dominated right and wrong, good and evil, scapegoat-producing, victim-producing lie on every level, and people are afraid to look at it, because if they do, their very thing that justifies their existence will be taken from them, and they'll have to live another way.
Right.
And that way, I can't, even though I carry this, don't know how to do it. I mean, I try to treat each person as if they were Jesus.
Right.
Because they are. That's the reality. Okay, you want to ask what I believe? That shattered it? Every person's Jesus. And didn't he say that and said, well, if you want to know what you're going to be judged by, when you visited this one, and when you fed this one, and when you clothed this one, or when you were visiting this one in prison, it was me. It wasn't that I went and did this, you know, gave a blanket to the homeless, or that's just another way to justify yourself. Right. The root is everyone is him. That changes everything. The person you don't like on the other side of the political aisle is him. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that it's okay to take a baby and I'm going to offend? Okay, this is what gets me in trouble. And forgive me, people, because I don't mean any harm. Here's a baby. It's just born. It wants nothing more than to be home with its mother. And yet we put it in daycare. And then after daycare, it goes into an institution called the public school. And its goal is, we're going to get it to college so it can do the same thing we're all doing.
So it can type in numbers on an Excel sheet.
Yeah. Okay. What?
For 30 years.
That's a crime. And that's what makes me different. I can't live in the illusion that that's okay. It's not okay. If you know what a human person is, you know what a crime that is. You don't, if you say the baby's fine, you don't know the baby.
Yeah.
The something in the baby had to die for it to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay? But you could say, well, now you're blaming the single mom, or you're blaming the person that's too poor. No, I'm blaming a society that makes having money and being successful the way of justifying yourself. It's the matrix. It's the lie. And where are the victims? Starting right there.
Yeah. Crying. Somebody at the top is benefiting off that life that you just described. Yeah.
Or maybe personally, you have an extra SUV. Okay?
Yeah.
And you get to go to Disney World.
Yeah.
But your baby, or you have this idea that your kids are going to somehow be scholars or whatever, so you put them in endless school. And they sit in a classroom all day, every day. And now I think people will be mad. And if they're mad, it's, well, that's the way it is. Why is that so bad? Because those are idols.
Yeah.
They come from, they're part of the false world. A boy doesn't belong sitting in a box all day long.
Yeah.
They don't belong doing that. We don't belong in front of little screens all day long. And these are just the modern things.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blame, you know, this modern world specifically. It's just the one we're in. That's not right. That's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay for there to be so many broken homes. It's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay to leave your wife. It's not okay.
Right.
Because why? We do not know the harm that happens when a father leaves the mother. We don't know what happens, or vice versa.
Right.
Again, we're all complicit in it too, including me. I've been part of this sinful world too. Okay, please don't hear. But we do not know the harm. we do not know that the soul murder that's taking place when we do these things. But if we ever stopped long enough to study it, we would be haunted. We wouldn't be able to live in illusion, the illusion that we've created to stave off the terror of death.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to do it.
So let me ask you this, maybe to get a little more modern on you.
Okay.
Because you could make the argument the whole world's wrong from the bottom up, top down, and everything needs a clean slate.
Yes.
But there's definitely a scale we've been on of good and bad throughout history. There's been highs and lows. And one example is, I want to get your take on how things are today versus how they were then. So 40, 50 years ago, a man could have went and worked a job at a factory and bought a house, land, provided for his wife and kids. The story of the kid is in daycare, and then he's in school, and then he's in college. For what? So he can get another SUV, a screen?
Right.
It wasn't the story 40 or 50 years ago, per se. It became the story, but the autonomy of your individual family was much stronger.
So you're talking about, you know, where are we on the scale?
Well, I'm saying, what led us further down the road? Why can't a man work a factory job and provide for his whole family?
Well, because somebody's got to have more.
Yeah.
And so the factory job turns into factory slave work.
Yep.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying. I don't think it changes. I think it more. I don't think
it's a higher stakes game.
It morphs is what it does. The same generation that we called the greatest generation, and which after World War II, a man could work a 40-hour a week job and maybe moonlight a little and buy a house. Mom could stay home with the kids. Great. Well, somebody paid for that. They paid for that. We dropped atomic bombs on people.
Right.
Okay? I didn't say that we started the war, but there's a web. It's all interconnected. And all of us, each one of us individually, are complicit in it.
Yeah.
It's not our government. There is no government. There's the people. The government is just what we set up.
Yeah.
All right? It's our choices that create a web. So some things are better now. Some things are far worse.
Yeah.
I think I would sum it up this way. The evil of the world and like the dominance of violence and oppression and misery and sin and suffering. The old world was bad for the body. This world is bad for the soul. That's how I would summarize it.
Yeah.
The old world was bodies didn't count for anything. You get shipped off and you're dead. Or you slave out in a field as some peasant and then you just drop dead at age 38 because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
That's real. Okay? That was the norm for many, many, many people. Okay? Now it's physical well-being is completely idolized to where it's unreasonable, but the existential doubt about everything, the betrayal, the not knowing what to believe,
right?
It's created shattered human beings on the inside. So I can't say which is worse. I don't know. If I were to travel back a couple hundred years and live it for a while, I could maybe have a better answer for you.
Right.
I don't want to romanticize the past.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. It was again, I keep using this word, it was monstrous.
Mm-hmm.
Mountains of corpses, mountains of suffering.
Right.
Everywhere. And so nowadays, we don't do that anymore. Growing up from a little child, looking at a screen is incredible harm. Where are all the children? Why aren't kids able to play outside the way they used to? Where are the animals? Why aren't they with animals playing ball outside together.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? That's a murder too.
Yeah.
That's just as much of a, that's a soul murder.
Yeah, it's been marketed out. I mean, everything's made to appeal to the most base desires. So mm-hmm. a kid who might play ball looks at a tablet that has these colors that people in a lab know mm-hmm. are the most likely to grab his eyes.
Mm.
And then the eyes are grabbed, and then he's spending all of his attention doing that. And then he's turned out into a product that his parents can buy him things.
Mm-hmm.
He's turned into a product.
Right. And so we all look at that, and maybe some of us will have the courage to look at it and say, that's right. But we're all going to say, but what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to answer that at the end,
mm-hmm.
that there is a solution, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to circle back a little bit. You asked, does the weight of the sacrifice that was made for us weigh on man?
Yeah.
And I would say, absolutely. It can't be undone. What was done was too big. The Christ event,
mm-hmm.
that a man who was God let himself be tortured for the whole world and then broke the power of death and unleashed into the world his own spirit.
Right.
His own Holy Ghost. And he's haunting us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This spirit of what? Love. Two things, love and identity.
Mm-hmm.
Every person is worth absolutely everything because of the love of God, and every person is in some way Jesus, mm-hmm. because he identified with every person.
Right.
Those two things, they can't be undone. And so I think we have to find new ways to deceive ourselves.
Yeah, we're getting better at it.
Yeah, but one day this thing's going to collapse in such a way that we won't be able to hide from it.
Yeah.
That what we've done is not okay. And I think I live in that consciousness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in any of the structures around us. The systems, the political systems, the economic systems, the financial system. Yeah, I don't believe in any of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's all a murder thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. So what do you do when you don't believe in the world you live in? And no one will listen to you. And I don't want to make it about me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I said I'm actually grateful that you actually had me on here to talk. Who am I?
Yeah.
You know? But I do believe there's a solution. And so when you want, I'll try to get to that.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple things I want to ask
mm-hmm.
that kind of tie in.
All right.
I don't mean to make this loaded, because actually this was supposed to be two separate questions, but you say the system from the ground up basically needs to be thrown aside. We need a new way of being.
Replaced with a new foundation.
And
which was what came in this act of love.
Right. Authority is an interesting word.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about this until recently, but up until I met you, I'd argue I've never really heard the word authority
mm-hmm.
a single time in my life. I only heard it in the satirical sense, like, respect my authority,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you prominently talk and speak about authority.
I do.
As it's a very important thing for life.
Yes.
What is authority, and what gives someone the right to have it?
Oh, I'm so happy you mentioned that, because any of your listeners still might think, if they try to work out what I'm saying, they might be asking questions like, so what, are we supposed to just, you know, ignore right and wrong?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't mean that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we supposed to just be woke? No, I don't mean that. And just accept everything?
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm going to contrast the meaning of authority with the old idea of authority. The old idea of authority was, I am over you.
Mm-hmm.
As exemplified through most of our history in the history of kings.
Right.
I can take you off your land and send you off to war and make your wife a widow because I'm the king.
And you have no right to negate it.
And that's authority. Or the teacher in the classroom says, you got to learn this because I say so. Really? Really? Or the government says, if you don't send your kid to the school, you're in trouble.
Yeah, or your grandma doesn't pay her property tax, they're going to take her house.
Yeah, or, well, whatever. Yeah, I guess that would be one, too. I mean, it's just imposing the will of one over another in the name of what's right and wrong. And sometimes it is in the name of what's right and wrong. Sometimes we have to have that. But the real meaning of authority, and so I'm not about lawlessness, believe me, okay? I'm very much an authority person. But I have a different definition of authority. Even though what I'm talking about, the love I'm talking about, is absolute because it's from God, the world we give in is not. We live in is not. It's created. It's not God himself. And so it has its own rules. So the only way, I'll offend some more, okay? The only way that we can exist is that something has to be something and not something else.
Yeah.
Because everything's finite. A tree can't be a cloud. A monkey can't be a tube of toothpaste.
Right.
Everything must be what it is.
And so you think there's a created order?
Yes, and that's authority. Authority is living within the reality of what is. Not the absolute reality. That is a highest authority of all. That no matter who you are or what you've done, prison cell, crime record, gay, straight, you know, whatever you might be, okay? Muslim, terrorist, that's the scandal, is that that's Christ. The terrorist is Christ. Sorry.
Yeah.
And he's worth everything. Something went wrong.
Yeah.
To make him that. And it's older and bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
Okay? But the created order, the one we've got to live in, has rules. And we didn't make them. It's just by dint of existence that something has to be this and not that.
Right.
So we can extrapolate that out now. But a family has to consist of, well, I think I'm going to let your listeners make the inferences. Because I will offend and feel bad about offending, but I don't want to unnecessarily offend. I want people to not hear, whoever you are out there, whatever you're in, you are, the absolute truth still stands, okay? But now that we know that, we've got to enter back into this world with a new foundation. And we still must obey authority. What we must do is obey the authority of the created order. So, human being isn't meant to live in a virtual world. Because the created order says that human beings need community. Human beings need animals. Human beings need hard physical work. That's just is. We don't thrive any other way.
Right.
Babies need mamas and daddies. So that's why the authority is you must be married to have sex. So there you go. I guess I'll offend on that one. Why is shacking up so wrong, so evil? It's against the order. The order is that a baby must have a dad and a mom. And those dad and mom must be so absolutely bound to each other that it's total safety for the child. And the father must be strong and the woman must be sweet. And the father must be masculine and the woman must be feminine. Because that's the way it is.
Right.
I didn't impose that. That's the wrong idea of authority. Somebody came along and told us that that has to be. No, it's the way things are.
So I think very few people disagree with those claims in an idyllic sense.
I know many people will get very heated at what I just said about family True. Family order.
But when I say idyllic, I mean, everyone's got this idea of what the ideal family and life is. And mm-hmm. I think it's very similar even for people with different beliefs. But what it really comes down to is, as an individual, people have a free will. And there's no limit to the degree of which they'll say free will encompasses the created order. Or my free will gives me the ability to circumvent the created order.
No, it doesn't.
And so what? What is?
I'm glad you said that because that's actually an accurate pinpoint of what's happening.
So what do you think the proper relationship of free will is? And why do we have it if we're not supposed to use it?
We have an immense amount of freedom. To say I can't do what I want because I have to take care of my children doesn't negate my free will.
Yeah, some people would say so. But
I still have immense amount of freedom.
Well, then you might not go out to the club as much.
Yeah, but so I'm supposed to have the freedom to betray my children? I'm supposed to have the freedom to neglect them?
Maybe not supposed to, but you do.
I suppose I do, but that's not freedom.
Yeah.
That's sin, to use an unpopular term. Mm-hmm. No, it's freedom is the freedom to not be bound by lies.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is never bondage.
Mm-hmm.
If you do these things, if you'll do these basic things that the created... So, what's part of the created order? That it's way better to get up early in the morning and go to bed at night and work hard than it is to not be able to get up because you're too tired and...
Or you drink too much.
Or whatever, right. Who's more free?
Mm-hmm.
The person that obeys their alarm clock because the authority of morning has come?
Mm-hmm.
Or the person who enslaves themselves to hatred of everything because they don't want to get out of bed. Yeah. Every day of their life starts out in misery.
We know who's more free.
Right. So you ask what the relationship between free will and that is. The free will is to choose the reality of things so that you become more and more. Free will gets bigger and bigger and bigger mm-hmm. as you exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
To say I won't live according to the way things are is the ultimate bondage.
Yeah.
And so you lose freedom. You become a slave and you have no free will anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You become a slave to your passions.
I think you can see that a lot today. It's very common.
You can see it in me. I've failed with that stuff myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
why do we have it, though? Like, you know, in Genesis, we ate from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why did we get the permission to do it? Is it because we're made in the image of God?
Yeah. Yeah, because the meaning of the universe is love. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning of the universe isn't obedience or,
This is actually the point I wanted to talk with you probably about the most.
Okay.
I have this one jotted down.
Go ahead.
So I actually call what you just said, maybe not exactly how you said it, I think the ultimate modern cop-out that Christians say. And it's God is love. And most people don't have a clue what they're saying,
yes.
other than it's an easy thing to say.
Yeah.
Where they can write it off as, well, I just know God is love.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? God is love. What does it mean?
It means what I said, that every single person is you.
Mm-hmm.
Love is identification.
Mm-hmm.
If you love, you identify with the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that person is me.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. That's why Jesus said, you're only forgiven to the extent you forgive others.
Right.
Because it's you. It's you who did the crime. That's
right.
You. And that's him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a oneness here. Okay? Love is to live that out.
Mm-hmm.
And love will mean, a world based on love will mean the complete dismantling of everything that we've built. And no, not everything. I, I'm, I,
Just the AC.
No, No. Because along with the horror that I've described through the fall,
mm-hmm.
there's also been a growing thread of what was loosed into the world.
Yeah.
And that's the love of God. And that's why we have things like human rights now. And that's why we have things like war crimes. Mm-hmm. You can't do certain things. And that's why we have hospitals when there used to not be hospitals. And if you go to certain countries that were never Christianized in any way at all, the dead just die in the streets.
Right.
Okay? We have women's rights, which are good. Mm-hmm. We have children's rights. It's only when those become absolute realities isolated from the created order in and of themselves that they become bad.
Yeah.
Okay? We have a world, we have a wonderful country that was formed because that also is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the structures of selfishness, the structures of greed, the structures of most religion, that stuff's got to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we revolt against it. I'm not saying we attack it. I'm saying we replace it with something different that's so beautiful that when that does crash down, we've offered an alternative to the world, which is the answer that I'd like to eventually get to.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about God is love last night because I have such an issue with the saying. And I was like, what does it really mean? And for me, the word that came to mind, I had two words. It was acceptance was one and belonging was the other. And I think to some degree, we belong to everything that exists. Every individual belongs to everything that exists. And if you think about dying and entering into a belonging to everything, you could easily attribute that is love. Fully belonging, fully being accepted. And not just maybe on a people-to-people level, but with existence itself, if your identity is fully integrated, that's love.
Yep, I agree.
So, I mean, that's how I think about it.
Everything is yours, and and you belong to everything. Everything is worth everything. Everything matters, especially people.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, and I guess that is kind of another way, but what I said, love is identification. Yeah. Yep.
So if the world is out of alignment, it's headed on a fast track to destruction, what's the alternative?
Community. That's the answer I wanted to talk about. I lived in a Christian community for 16 years that was not perfect. But it was a place where everybody left everything they had to come together and live together on land. And if any of my dear friends from that community are listening to this at all, I love and miss them because I'm not there anymore. It's still a really beautiful neighborhood, but it's not what we had started with.
Right.
Because it had faults. But we did an experiment together. And what we experimented with was, what if we actually did this thing? So what do I mean by that? Everybody says, anyone, Jim, anyone can say what you say. The world should be this, this, or this, and this. But we all know it can't be.
Yeah, because no one's going to do it.
Yeah, no one's going to do it. And it can't be anyway. It's just not the way things are. I say, that's a lie. That's what I can't live in. That's what I'm incapable of living in is the lie that it has to be this way. Because people are naturally selfish, naturally fearful, naturally greedy. No. You know why I know it's a lie? Because 2,000 years ago, in time, in space, in human history, another life was birthed into the world through the death and resurrection of Jesus for his disciples that changed them so much that a movement broke out that was a true revolution.
Right.
And in that revolution, those that had land and houses sold them and laid them at the feet, the money they got at the feet of the apostles. And distribution was made, and there were none among them that lacked. The widow was not lonely. The orphan was not an orphan. We didn't need welfare. It was, that's there. If you doubt it, listeners, read it yourself in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and then chapter 4.
I do believe if that had not actually happened, the modern world would be much more brutal than people could imagine it to be. Like, I think we wouldn't have come far from where they were without that happening. It would just be, we'd have still advanced. There'd still be new technology and modern conveniences, but the competition would be just as intense. And the brutality would be just as present.
And for those who would say, that's communism, what you're talking about. No, it's not. It's identification. It's love. Communism, well, the atheistic communism we know about is the government tells you, you will own nothing and be happy.
Yeah.
This kind of communism says, I won't be happy unless you have it too. I'm not happy with a $450,000 or $750,000 home and 50 acres if you can't have it too. It's not that anybody's forcing me to do it.
Yeah.
It's the authority of the truth that this person is my brother. I can't. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. And that spirit was poured out in power on a group of people that had been prepared for it. And the Roman Empire nearly toppled. Okay? I won't get into now what happened. You can look at history and see what happened to the church. But that was the prototype. That was the beginning. That was a new world born within the old world. A new foundation. The sacrifice of God for each one of us.
Right.
They would take, other people would leave their babies in the street to die in the Roman Empire in the early days, and they'd go out and take them and bring them in. They didn't use, some had surnames, but that designated their rank in society and in the community, they did not use them. It was radical, really radical. And there's much more to it than that. I lived something like that for 16 years.
Yeah.
I won't mention the name of the community. All right? In case they don't want me to.
Yeah.
Okay? But I'm not ashamed of it. I deeply love it. And I lived for 16 years in a very imperfect version with some over-authoritarian leanings, with people making sacrifices maybe they weren't ready to make or coerced into certain things that caused some resentments and some pain, and some real wrongs were done. But the people left everything to try to do this, to try to live a life of love on land. We lived on 100 acres at the top, at the height of our population. We had 300 people, and later on it reduced and then reduced a few more times through splits and attrition and things like that. We tried, and it was... I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same after having done that, because it showed me it's possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. You've been to that neighborhood. You know there's magic there.
Yeah, there's magic. Which, so I'm curious, people know that community, that belonging is good for the heart, it's good for the soul.
Yes.
And of course the world has its own ambitions. But what makes people put wedges, like what makes people do these things and divide themselves? Over time, the more modern a society is, the more it divides itself. The families are smaller, the communities are more niche, and people just get further from one another.
Right.
Why is that? When everyone knows being together is better.
Yes. Well, do they?
I believe so.
I think conceptually, sure. I think
you feel better when you spend time with others regularly.
Yes, yes. Well, okay. There's a number of things. So why don't they just do this? Why don't we just do this? Well, number one, unless we have a profound conversion on the inside, we can't do it.
Right.
It's this spirit I'm talking about. This love was released into the world, and this truth of who human beings are was released into the world. If that gets in us, then we can do it. Then we have the power to not be selfish. Then we have the power to live with less. Then we have the power to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive.
Mm-hmm.
When you live together, you'll see. And then we have the power to say, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because we are human beings and we're frail. And so we do mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But that messing up becomes room for love. Okay? So why don't they do it? Well, you're telling me that house that I worked so hard to get, I got to let go of?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's the pride. There's the, this is why I'm good.
Your privacy also.
Your privacy, because
you're more exposed.
You're exposed. Oh, you're big time exposed. If you see me on church on Sunday, Jim's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
You live with me?
Yeah.
Jim's a nice guy and a jerk.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And only by living with the jerk can you really love me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And can we ever really get healing?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, the answer to the world is community on this foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we keep getting further and further and further apart? Why do we tend to do that? Because we can.
Mm-hmm.
Planes, trains, and automobiles. We can go get that job in another state, even though I don't see my dear loved ones anymore, because I can make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So I can have a better home. Why? So that I can reach the dream. Why? Well, that was the lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made you good. It's an idol.
Yeah.
Okay? There are idols. Why do we do it? Why do we... I don't have a good answer because I don't understand it. All I want to do is live on land with people for the love of God, and not just the love of God, it's justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's this kind of justice. If we live this way, guess what? There won't be lonely children who have nobody
mm-hmm.
and have to sit and look at their screen all day long. You won't have to leave your children to put them in daycare because we don't have to have $700,000 or $500,000 or $300,000 houses. We can share.
Yeah.
We can build things together. We can do it. We really can. So that moms can stay home with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so that men don't have to work obscene amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone gets a little more than others, makes it a little better, I mean, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they have maybe something to share.
Yeah.
Okay? It can be done. And so that's justice. Okay? When you build, and the world's not ready for it, but if we who claim that we know this God, if we do it, then it becomes what Jesus called a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be hidden. If you've ever been lost in the woods at night, and I have, it is scary. But if you see the light in somebody's house, you know, there's a street down, you know, that happened to me a couple of years ago. let me tell you, it's such a relief. You'll crash through any thorns, whatever you need to get there, okay? Yeah. You just head in that direction. If you're lost at sea, at the lighthouse, if you're lost in the darkness and there's a city and it's on a hill, it's raised up for everybody to see, it provides an alternative to greed and being enslaved to idols. We can replace all the fancy gadgets and all the millions of hours spent in institutions trying to find a way to get wealthy with something called one another. We can work together. We can work hard. It is hard work. I'm not saying it's utopia.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not utopia. It's beautiful though. And we can figure out if this marriage is in trouble, guess what? We're going to help. So much could be fixed just not by being all alone. So go back to the lie produced the society we live in now, and it's medicized. Okay. Something else came into the world that obliterates that lie once we actually see it. And so what's the new world look like? Communities of human beings who live by that love. So the world can see another way. We can do it. I don't, and that's why I refuse to live in the lie that, yeah, that's the way things are supposed to be, but we can't do it. No, some of us can. And if the ones that can do, then more will be able to. I don't think everyone can right now because they haven't seen it. They haven't, you know.
We're in deep.
We're in deep.
Deeper than we've ever been.
Or at least, you mean into the system?
Yeah, we're further connected. I mean, we're further off the land. I mean, some people don't even go out. People, they don't go outside.
Yeah. So, and I'm not any better than anybody else because I don't have it either. I'm looking for, okay, advertisement. I'm looking for disciples, not of me. I'm looking for others who say, the kind of love you're talking about and justice you're talking about, where people can live together in communities instead of being isolated and picked off by every fentanyl and mental illness and loneliness and et cetera, broken homes. Okay. I'm looking for you. If you think that that's, if you can't live in that illusion either, I'm looking for a few people that I can band together with and start. I already left everything once. Are you out there? Are you there? Talk to me. Call me.
Yeah.
We'll do it together.
Because outside of it being outside of people knowing that this is a possibility. There's nothing in the world today leading people to this conclusion naturally. There's no media. There's no speakers saying that this is the solution.
Right.
So how would the message get out? How would you make it cool? I say you have to make it cool. Maybe you don't have to, but
No.
The world is ran by what's cool and what isn't. Which I think is part of the death cult, but still.
I like what you said, though. How do you make it cool? Because I know what you mean. There's no way to make it cool like the new iPhone 16 is cool.
Yeah, the new LeBron sneakers.
Yeah, it's not going to be cool like that. It's going to be cool in that it reaches to the depth of every human heart, and people say, oh, that's how human beings are supposed to live. I already knew that. No one told me that, but I knew it, and now I see it. Now I see it. Okay. How do you make that cool? How do you make that appealing? I'm the least cool man on earth. You should do it. You're quite cool.
I'm thinking about it. I'm plotting.
Okay.
I got my schemes.
You got your schemes? Well, maybe this AK...
Baby do
podcast will be the beginning.
That's the hope. That is the hope. Maybe some rough edges on the way, but...
Yeah. I'm not a utopian. I'm not a dreamer. I left everything to be part of this. Mm-hmm. I suffered immensely as part of it at times because we made mistakes, but the love remains.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I don't regret it. If any of my friends hear me, I love you, and I wish I were with you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on, man.
Thanks for having me.
If
anybody listens to your podcast after this episode.
We taught some lessons.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. See you guys.